welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat episode 34 with me, James Gordon. Thanks as always to sponsors PD Law Solicitors, Deals the Jewellers, Musical All Sorts and Arnold Gorse Financial Management. Coming up in this episode, I've got an exclusive extra bit of content with Widnes Chief Executive Phil Finney. I'll run through the fixtures as well, which have been announced since the last show. If you've not seen it already, I was invited to do an interview piece with Phil Finney, the Vikings chief executive that the club released as part of their new Inside Widnes series. I'll be doing a few more of them in the coming weeks with various different people. But I took the opportunity to speak to Phil after that session to ask him a few more nitty-gritty questions to give you some extra content to listen to on the podcast. It's about 20 minutes or so long, so there's plenty of extra insight in that as well. That's to look forward to a little bit later in the show. I'm going to run through the fixtures, though, because they were released a couple of weeks ago. I just wanted to have a bit of a run through in case you've probably seen them already, but we'll have a chat anyway. Widnes will start with a trip to Oldham on February the 2nd, then two home games against Batley and London. The Easter games, Good Friday is Lee away. There's no game on Easter Monday this year. Instead, it'll be a Wednesday night at home to Bradford on Wednesday the 15th of April. Lee are the opponents at the Summer Bash, which is Sunday the 31st of May, 5:30 kickoff, same as last season. Everyone was looking at Toulouse. Toulouse away is Saturday 15th of August. Good luck with getting your flights and your packages together for that one. Be a nice time of year. I know we played Toulouse 2009-2011. It was always in the peak of summer and it was always a really good weekend. I know the flights were a little bit more expensive in August, but you should be able to get to that one. After the trip to Toulouse, there's two home games against Lee and Oldham, and then finishing off away at Bradford on the 6th of September. I mean, fixtures are what they are. You play everyone at home and away, and then you have that extra one as well. So I'm sure everyone has their own favourites and trips they want to look out for. Batley, I'm sure, is the one that most people talk about. That's on the 5th of July. I don't think there's any other significant dates, I don't think, going on. But, yeah, they're all on the club website. You can sync it to your calendar as well. I think the club have made that available again this year. So then, moving on to talking with the club. So I sat down with Phil Finney last week. Had a very long chat with him. You can watch that on the club's official website and YouTube channel and Facebook and Twitter. But as I mentioned, I was able to sit down for a further chat with Phil after that one. I got an extra 20 minutes or so extra out of him. I talk about dual reg. We talk about players. We talk about friendlies as well. I asked a few further questions. So I hope you enjoy this extra little bit of insight. Let me know what you think in the comments as usual. I've got a few more of these Inside Widnes shows to come as well, so I'll always try and make sure we get some extra content for the podcast too. But for now, just sit back and enjoy. So Phil, just give us a bit of an insight into what you're up to at the moment, both yourself and as a club.
We've just got through the season ticket, the early bird period, which was you know, a massive success. You know, from where we anticipate we might be, we've overachieved, which has been brilliant and testimony to our supporter base. The lads have started back. So the lads started back training last week, so they're into the second week of training now. Obviously, it's all new. You know, got a new head coach in. We've got a new assistant in who's helping out with Tim, who's worked with Tim before, Jamie. So I think there's a lot of new boys that have come into the squad. So they're all getting to know each other a little bit at the moment, kind of thing, and just familiarising themselves with, I suppose, Tim's way of doing things and his terminology and stuff. So that's progressing nicely. We're just looking at the moment at putting two friendlies on in January. So we're just in talks with a couple of clubs.
Will they be at the stadium?
Yeah, they'll be at the stadium, yeah. Hopefully on the 12th and 19th of January. So we're just probably putting the finishing touches to that, and then we'll release who they are and the dates and the admission prices and so on and so forth. But you think, you know, things are going pretty well at the moment.
Is everyone in training? Is there any injuries or anyone sitting on the sidelines? Is Pat Moran, I know he played in the internationals, has he been given a bit extra time off? Or
no, I don't think he has, to be fair. Right. Pat's been in training. I think Logan Logan's only started this week. Obviously, Logan played in the grand final. So, you know, he's come back in. Shane Grady is just finishing like the latter stages of his rehab for a knee injury he picked up last year. But he should be, you know, 2 or 3 weeks away and he'll be back full training. A couple of the younger boys, Lewis Ellis has got a bit of an injury at the moment that he's trying to overcome. But apart from that, the squad's fairly healthy.
Yeah, and what's Tim being like? Obviously, getting into knowing about the players. Obviously, there's a lot of players in the club that you know really intimately and really well. How's Tim reacted to some of those players?
Do you know what? I've been really sort of surprised with Tim. You know, I think you obviously have a perception of people, don't you, based upon what you see on the telly and his past and all that kind of stuff. But he's a genuine, like, rugby boffin, to be fair. You know, he'd sit down and speak to you all day about rugby, and he gets as excited about an 18, 19-year-old lad as he does over, like, a 29-year-old sort of senior pro. So he's getting into it at the moment and really getting to know the players. And obviously, we've brought a few, you know, I'd say, without being disrespectful to him, like Kenny Baker's a bit of a wild card coming from North Wales, but you know he's really impressed Tim, you know, at the moment. So I think one of the things that Tim's got into, obviously in his sort of locker, is just massive experience. You know, he'll have worked with all sorts of players, won't he? He'll have seen the good, the bad, the ugly kind of thing. So he's got all that to draw upon, and he's very, I think what he has done, he's brought like a calmness to the place, you know, and he's very very balanced. And you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how some of our players develop underneath him.
How does it work in terms of Tim for his timings and when's training and stuff like that?
Well, Tim's full time, right? So we've appointed Tim full time because, you know, at the end of the day, he's still going to have, you know, 25 players that he's got to, you know, improve. You know, so whilst the players are in Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturdays, obviously when the season starts, they'll be playing as well. They've also got programmes that they have to complete away from it. And that's something that Tim's really, really keen on, trying to make sure that they adopt sort of like a full-time professional attitude to it. And so that's how the players are working. But Tim's like really, really keen to get involved with sort of the sponsors as well, that type of thing. You can imagine, he's been at West Tigers, he's been at North Queensland Cowboys. You know, he understands the importance of the whole club rather than just, you know, the first team. So he's been really forthcoming in helping. He was at the event on Monday night. He's more than willing to put sort of business breakfast on and this kind of stuff and do some motivational talking kind of thing. So he's been brilliant so far.
Yeah, you mentioned Kenny Baker earlier, and obviously you signed Dion Cross and Jake Spedden, players like that. Was it you that was leading that recruitment, and how did you identify those players?
Well, one of the things is we wanted, because we're part-time, we wanted to have local players, just because logistically it's really difficult to sign someone from, you know, even Oldham and Rochdale, places like that. It's difficult for them to get on the M62 and get over here for training at night. And then by the time they finish training and they're getting back, you know, they've got to get up and work at 8 o'clock the next day or whatever. The sustainability of that, I think, is questionable. So one of the things that we looked at was locality, where they lived. The other thing we looked at was, you know, their age, you know, age profile and experience. And one of the things that we suffered from last year, we had such a big gap. You know, we had players who were probably 30 plus, and then we had a raft of players that were sort of 22 down, and we had Danny Craven and Jack Owens in the middle of that. So we wanted to try and make sure it was a bit more balanced, and they were a little bit older than what we had last year on average. And key to us that they had experience at Championship as well, League One and Championship. So, because it is it's a completely different kettle of fish.
Yeah, is there a myth? Is it a myth that the more part time players are in Yorkshire and the Yorkshire teams have an advantage? Do you still think there's a decent pool of part time players available to you this side of the Pennines?
I'd never heard that myth.
No,
I'd never heard that myth, to be fair, but you're probably right, aren't you? I mean, there's obviously ourselves now, Oldham,
and Lee hybrid, I suppose.
Yeah, Lee, Swinton are in there as well. But no, I think it's our probably job now, part of our recruitment strategy, is to make sure that we have a really in-depth understanding of what's out there, and more importantly, what we need. You know, I think recruitment at some clubs, and I think probably everywhere really, sometimes is a little bit ad hoc, and someone will get thrown up and you'll take them on. But I think we need to be a bit more strategic in that, and We've obviously got a really hard-working head of youth in Ryan O'Brien, who's got a really thorough understanding of what's out there and, you know, what's who could potentially be coming out of Super League clubs and whatnot. So we'll be working on that with Tim, Ryan and Jamie in terms of moving forward.
What's happening with the reserves and how does that implicate both the first team and the academy?
Well, the reserves is it's something that, you know, we have to do. As a Category 1, as a club with a Category 1 academy, you have to run a reserves. There's no choice in that. You know, and obviously we'll run one now. The way it's going to work next year, there's going to be basically either the reserves will play one weekend and then the academy will play the after. So I think what you're going to find is you're going to have a lot of academy players playing reserves. You're also going to have a lot of lads that are back in the first team squad playing reserves as well. In terms of being the best environment, the most conducive environment to play development, I don't think it is. I think we're going to have a lot of blowout scores. There's no league.
So they're just like exhibition games, effectively?
I think so, yeah. And you know, some clubs, I know Warrington have signed some fairly experienced players that are going to be playing in their reserves. You know, other clubs, you know, I'm not sure what Salford are doing, but, you know, obviously Salford haven't an academy, so they're going to have to get a reserve team together from scratch. So, whilst, you know, philosophically, I do think having a 16s and 18s, a reserves, a first team, and even like an agreement between reserves and first team, whether it's dual reg or loan, would be brilliant for the sport. I just think volume-wise, in terms of quality players, they're not out there at the minute.
Will you be doing anything to bring maybe additional players in to play for the reserves? Did someone mention there was going to be some sort of trial or something?
Yeah, we've been talking about having an open trial, you know, for players that are out there that... There might be players, for instance, that have never been in a pro club, that are playing, you know, it might be playing open age in the community game. There might be players that, you know, they might be up here at university, you know, from wherever. They've never been exposed to rugby league before. So we're going to have a look at doing some open trials. There's another part of our strategy is to speak to some of the players that have been here previously. Mm. You know, when you've had a 19s and then the jump from 19s to Super League, That's a bridge too far for some players at their stage of development. But some of those players are now, maybe have gone off and played a bit of League One or Championship, may have gone back to a community game. Some of them might not have played, kind of thing. So we've got a long list of players that we're going to have a chat to about coming back. And you know,
I suppose that's like someone like Chris Atkin, for example, who obviously left the club when he turned 19, 20, whatever it was.
Thanks for reminding me that one, yeah.
and he's obviously worked his way back up to be a more than competent Super League player.
Yeah, like Chris is, I think Chris is an absolutely brilliant example. Like at the time, we had Danny Crave and Tom Gilmore and Grant Gore. And, you know, I get on really well with Chris. I don't think he'd mind me saying this, but he's a pain in the backside. Like, one week he'd be brilliant, and next week he'd start throwing passes, like, without looking and through his legs and all kinds of stuff and going off script kind of thing. So when it came to making a decision, at the time, we didn't think Chris would get past the other players, but credit to Chris. Mm. He went through the university route and worked really, really hard, and the opportunity he's got now, he fully deserves it. But he's a great example of... players develop at different rates, you know, and sometimes you need to leave an environment you're in, you know, to go and be coached by different people, different experiences and stuff, and before you fulfil your potential. So there are a lot of examples out there like that. When you've just got a 19s sort of team, you're making decisions on players far too young, and some players you know full well that if you had the resource and you had the environment to keep them for 3 or 4 more years, you would. Yeah. And that's where you look at rugby union, they're keeping lads till they're 25, 26, and they've not even played, you know, for the first team, but they've got the resource to do it, and they've also got the outlets to get them out playing.
And you hear it all the time, people say, oh, there's a belting amateur player at West Bank or whatever, but you're not going to chuck him in at first team level at Widnes, but you could feasibly chuck him in for the reserves, have a look at him, get him into your systems, and he might turn out to be a player.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, we're a late specialisation sport, aren't we? And really, I don't know whether I should say this to you, but I'll say it anyway. Like, but we're picking all clubs are picking the wrong kids. Mm. You know, we've got a system that we work to with the RFL where scholarships start at under 15s. Mm. The year before at under 14s, you go and watch any sort of Premier Division team under 14s, and St Helens will be there, Wigan will be there, Warrington will be there. We'll probably be there as well, watching. But we're recruiting players at the most volatile period of their adolescence. So, you know, we can all remember the ones from school that were, they were 14 chronologically, about 36. Biologically, they're the lads that are getting in our systems.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we're missing an entire raft of lads that might just not have grown.
Yeah, and there's a bit of concern that if there's a lot of fallout, isn't there, where if you don't get picked up at 15, people are just stopping playing. And
yeah,
then I was at the stadium and I think Widnes Tigers were training there, and there was a lad who had been playing 15s or 16s and the rest of his team had been signed, and he was basically just wanted to play rugby, and he couldn't play because he had no teammates left.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's two sides to the coin. There's those kind of players that maybe just need a bit more time, you know, to develop. But equally, there's other players that, you know, everyone thinks he's going to be the next big thing at 14, and he gets a 16 and everybody's caught him up and he can't cope. Because he's always been the boy, suddenly he's not, so he falls out the game. So it's at both ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. We're really struggling, and we need to have a way more inclusive way of looking at players. And you know, my big thing, if they've got some rugby ability and they're tough and they train hard, keep them for as long as you can, because you just never know. I think we've had examples of that, you know, in the past, of players that have taken a little bit longer to come through. And as a sport, we just can't afford to be neglecting those players.
Yeah. Talk about dual reg if we can. There's a few different options. Can you talk about who the options are or what them options
probably
are?
It'd probably be unfair of me to talk about who the other clubs are at the minute, but probably wouldn't take a genius if they did a bit of research to see who's already tied up with other clubs and who's left, kind of thing. That it wouldn't be too hard, but it really is important for us to make sure that we're in a partnership with someone. And it is mutually beneficial that club, whoever we are, dual reg within the end, understands that it's not just about them, you know, being able to send whoever they want to for us. So I think it probably might look a bit like a dual reg loan type agreement, where hopefully we get some players on long term loans and we might have some dual reg players in there as well. But it is, you know, for us, it's really important that we have consistency and continuity in the squad and we know what we're working with.
Is the choice yours? Is it you who's got to decide between three or however many of them is it? Or is it the Super League clubs who are choosing between Widnes and somebody else?
Probably a little bit of both, to be honest. I think if you're a Super League head coach, ultimately you want to make sure any player that isn't playing for you is playing for a coach and they're in an environment that is conducive to them continuing to develop. You'd have to say that Tim Sheens is a pretty good option, isn't he? You know, so I think that's definitely going to come into the decision-making process for Super League clubs when they're looking at us. I also think, you know, locality is important. You know, we had a dual reg with Whitehaven, and I really like that, because if you want to assess whether a player wants to become a player, sending him up to Whitehaven two or three times a week, you'll find out pretty quick. That doesn't work for every player, you know, and maybe it doesn't work for players that are on good salaries, kind of thing, and, you know, probably better for them to be able to travel, you know, half an hour or whatever it might be, maximum, to wherever they're training and stuff. So there's a lot of different variables that we're looking at, but I think the most important thing, as I said, is trying to make sure that both parties, you know, benefit from it. And what I'd like to get into is more than just a partnership for players. You know, I'd like to get involved in a partnership with someone where we can share good practice, and some of our sort of like more junior staff can go and see what they do as a full-time club and bring some ideas there and make it a little bit more, because I think one of the things I think that we need to start doing as clubs is we need to start getting our heads together, you know, and obviously we're really parochial, you know what I mean? And I've talked about the identity, we're black and white and we'd never wear we shouldn't have a V on our kit, in my view, ever. But having said that,
I mean, the hoops are here to stay. Is that an exclusive there?
Well, I'm a big fan of hoops, but to be fair, when I started doing the research, you're looking and thinking, were we really hoops? Or it seems to be hoops, doesn't it? Or like black sort of piping down the arms.
White shirt, black shorts.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely going to be black and white. We can agree on that. And it can't have a V on. So they're two things that we definitely know moving forward. But, you know, I'd love to see clubs collaborate a little bit more, you know, and work together, because ultimately, if you look at what's gone on over, you know, down under, kind of thing, the last few weeks, I think as a sport we've got a bit of work to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we need to help each other as best we possibly can.
In terms of players, and you know, you talk about player pool, and there's players in our academy who've left, you know, likes Keenan Brand and Brad Walker and JJ. What's your emotion, what's your feeling seeing them guys move on and taking Super League deals?
That's different because, you know, obviously Brad Walker, if anybody knows him, he's, you know, he's one of the laziest people you'll ever meet. No, it, like, when you bring a lad down from Cumbria when he's 16, you know, and he...
Introducing
electricity
and stuff
like that. Yeah, exactly, yeah, you know. And he's sticking, like, frozen chickens in the microwave to try and cook them, and Curtis Marsh is nearly having a heart attack seeing this going on. You know, there's a massive, massive sense of satisfaction when you see them developing, not only as players, but as people, you know what I mean? And as much as it's painful to see them move on because they have to for their careers, there's also a sense of, you know, satisfaction in it. You know, the... JJ was a great example. You know, JJ was... He came down here, JJ, as a 17-year-old, I think he was. He paid for himself to stay in... I won't name the establishment, but it wasn't a particularly nice establishment that he paid to stay in. And he did that himself. We didn't pay for him to do that. And he just took the opportunity and he basically dragged himself through the system, JJ. And, you know, I've got so much respect for that lad, the way he did it. I'm sure he's going to go to Hull and... do himself proud, and hopefully do Widnes proud as well. So it's hard when you've invested so much time. And one of the things that I think we pride ourselves with the young players here is that we give a bit of ourselves to them, do you know what I mean? And we get to know them as people, and that's been a tactic for us over the years. Someone said to me years ago, just make it that hard that they can't say no to you. Just try and treat them that well that they can't say no. So it has been hard, you know. Matt Whitley, Danny Walker, yeah. Keenan Brand, these players that have moved on. Obviously, we've received some fees for some of those players as well, which has been helpful.
Is that what's happened with the guys that have left this year? I know there would have been a fee for Danny Walker, but has there been fees for the likes of Brad and Keenan?
No, not all of them. There has been for one of the players who's moved on, but
who's that,
the agreement
can you tell
is, I can't tell
you. Can't tell
yeah, but but the club that have paid a few fees over the years for different players, so you can try and work it out. So, But in terms of the other players, it was very much, we had to look at, financially for us, we had players on fixed-term contracts. And if those players would have stayed on those fixed-term contracts over the next couple of years, it would have made it really, really difficult for us with our budget to develop a decent squad.
Because you could have dug your heels in and said, right, Brad Walker, you're not leaving unless we get a fee.
Yeah, definitely. But what you're left with then, you're left with a player that
he's unhappy,
has had an opportunity to go to a Super League club. And I think it's a very, very small world, isn't it, Rugby League?
Yeah.
I think if you start doing that, at the end of the day, like, you know, you need your players to be happy. You need your staff to be happy. If they're not, you're not going to get anything out of them, kind of thing. And they start to resent the place, and then it becomes really, really counterproductive. So as much it sounds like I'm being really pragmatic about it, like, I've had some really heated debates and, like, really sort of, like, emotional conversations with people about all this, but at the end of the day, we've got to do what's right for the club and hopefully what's right for the players as well.
Were you a bit disappointed to see Brad Walker, he's been found out on loan to Newcastle or dual reg or something? Was there ever a consideration with any of these players that maybe they'd come back to Widnes on a loan or a dual reg?
Yeah, there was, yeah. No, with you know, like I said before, I joked about Brad Walker being lazy, but I'm not joking, he is lazy. No, Brad's been full-time with us, you know, for a long time. And I think for him personally, you know, to go
to stay full time,
to go to Wakefield and be full time, and then have to come back to Widnes and be back in part time, I'm not sure that would have been the best thing for Brad. I don't think it would have been the best thing for the club either. So I think where Brad was, I think Brad needed a change personally. Like, I really like Brad as a player and as a lad, but he's not your typical sort of forward now, Brad. You know, he's a... If Brad had played in the 80s, I think he probably would have played for Great Britain. You know what I mean? Unbelievable skill set, unbelievable awareness of the sport, but probably not the consummate professional that's probably needed now. And that's no disrespect. He's a laid-back lad.
He's like a ball-playing loose forward, isn't he? But no one employs a ball-playing loose forward
anymore.
No,
exactly. And I think, like, when we were looking at where he was going, you know, and obviously I didn't have any say in where he was going, but part of the conversation was he was going to play for a coach in Chris Chester, who was that type of player.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Chester was a forward that, well, he played stand-up as well. He could play, really skillful. So I think he'll identify in Brad Walker, and if anyone can bring the best out of him, then maybe it's Chris Chester. But, you know, certain players need to be part-time, need to be full-time. Certain players can be, like Jack Owens, wouldn't matter whether he's full-time or part-time, he would physically be at the same level.
Yeah.
You know, other players need to be, like Ollie Ashall needs to be in a full-time environment where he's got all the support that he needs around him. They're all different, aren't they?
Were you disappointed that like Ollie and Dan Norman left to join London, given that London are in the same division as Widnes?
A little bit, but obviously London are full-time. You know, London have got got relegated and got the parachute payment, so their budget will be significantly different from ours. I think again those players an opportunity to go and live in London. I think they're probably
did someone take Dan Norman's cat? I saw that on Facebook. I think he was looking for someone to take his cat because he was going to London.
I don't know. He didn't approach me. he would have got a short answer. I don't know about Dan's cat, but. You know, living in London, you look at Danny Ward, you know, what he's done with them. He looks to be, you know, a really good coach, doesn't he? You know, like sort of motivator. I would imagine he runs quite a happy camp kind of thing. It certainly looks that from the outside looking in. And he's certainly got the best out of those players over the last couple of years. So I think, again, it's just about, you know, certain players, the circumstances were just right for them to move on. I think Ollie had had a horrendous time here with injuries and stuff, and I think a change for him will be really good. I think Dan Norman, you know, came from nowhere really, didn't he, last year, and you know he's got an opportunity to go down there, and you know I would imagine that London will be vying to get back into Super League. So you know, at the minute we had to be really honest with the players and say realistically that's not where we're going to be, you know, this year or next year. So yeah, good luck to them all.
So really interesting insight with Phil Finney, like we had in the Inside Widnes piece from the club as well. Interesting to see rumours addressed regarding Blake Wallace, regarding Danny Walker, Owen Farnworth as well. Probably the big news came out that Owen Farnworth is staying at the club. I do not believe there's any more. I think Liam Walsh was the only one with a question mark. I don't think he will be remaining at the club. That's my understanding. But other than that, everything's tied up. Tim Sheens is quoted in the Rugby Press this week as saying he's still on the lookout for signings, possibly a prop, and then maybe a centre and a halfback slash fullback option. I know as much as anyone, I think. There's obviously names bandying around. I tried to ask the question, but everyone likes to play it close to the chest. Your registration is obviously going to be a key part of the discussion and the consideration. I did try and press Phil on who the club would be, as you heard. He couldn't reveal that. I would be very surprised if it was Toronto. I think the most logical solution is to partner with Warrington, certainly because there's a few players there that are aware of Widnes and aware of the Widnes system. But yeah, please do, as always, drop me a tweet at JDG Sport. Please do leave a review on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you listen to the podcast. Your support is appreciated. In the next few weeks, I'll be chatting to a few different people at the club. I think Dave Rolt's next on the hit list, so we'll get some insight from him as well. And as always, always open to you, to your ideas, if you want to hear, or if you want to come on even and have a chat with me on the podcast. Try and make them as regular as possible. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, Musical All Sorts, PD Law Solicitors, Deals the Jewellers, and Arnold Gorse Financial Management. And I will see you next time.